الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. أما بعد. السلام عليكم. What we did is because we ran into some overtime on the Aqeedat al-Wasitiya class. We apologize for those who came expecting the Salah class, which we just have a little bit to finish on it regarding the nullifiers of Salah and the Sajdat al-Sahu or the prostration of forgetfulness. So we're just going to wrap that up in the next few minutes, inshallah. And then tomorrow there will be, as scheduled, just the khutbah, and after Jummah, the love and hate in Islam as scheduled. Jazakumullah.
نعم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله ما بعد. We only have two things left in the issue of Salah. One is the nullifiers of Salah. One is the nullifiers of Salah, and we already spoken about four of them. يعني ما بقي عندنا غير أمرين في الصلاة، موضوعين في الصلاة، مبطلات الصلاة وسجود السهو، أحكام سجود السهو. The nullifiers of الصلاة and the way of to perform سجود السهو. نواقض الصلاة the nullifiers of الصلاة are eight as we say each day. هي ثمانية كما قلنا بالأمس. تكلمنا على الأربعة الأولى. We've spoken about the four. First four of them. وقلنا أنها نعم خروج خارج من السبيلين و come from the two the shared areas front and back. والثاني
الكلام
نعم
الكلام
speaking intentionally نعم with speech which is not from صلاة. هذا الذي قلنا قلنا الكلام عمد غير ناسي وليس من كلام الصلاة. The third eating generally eating الأكل عامدا intentionally نعم. الرابع نعم moving excessively with no need. والخامس نعم أو استطر طيب. والخامس هو ظهور العورة. The fifth is the appearance exposed of the عورة. وقلنا بالأمس أن العورة ليست هي الأعضاء الخاصة في الصلاة ليست هي الأعضاء الخاصة. We said that the awra in salah is not the private part. لكن قلنا بالنسبة للرجل ماذا؟ من السرة إلى الركبة. We said in regard to the man from the navel to the knee. وبالنسبة للمرأة كلها awra. While in regard to the woman, she is all awra except her face and her hands and the prayer. ما إلا وجه كفير الصلاة. طيب كما هذه خمسة. طيب ستة نعم القهقرة الضحك من الضحك نعم أحسنت intentionally changing the direction from the way of the كعبة لكن يعني الاتجاه إلى غير الكعبة بقصد لكن هنا يجب أن نحذر إذا كان الاتجاه خفيف تحول خفيف هذا لا يضر إلا إذا كان أمام الكعبة يعني little move to other than the direction there's no problem except when in front of the كعبة but away from the كعبة يعني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في المدينة قال نعم ما بين المشرق والمغرب قبلة. Because he صلى الله عليه وسلم in Medina, he said what is between the east and the north, the east and the west is قبلة for the people of Medina. ونحن نعلم أن المدينة ليست هي مباشرة شمال مكة. And we know that Medina is not directly north to Mecca. شمال غرب. But it is northwest. ومع ذلك قال ما بين المشرق والمغرب. هذا يدل على أن الانحراف القليل لا يؤثر. This means that the small small angle does not make any difference. Except when you are praying in front of the Kaaba. You have to face the Kaaba exactly. نعم. وأيضا كم صرنا الآن ستة؟ طيب. وأيضا الحركة الكثيرة. الحركة حتى احنا قلنا أمس المشي. Excessive movement means move, مشي. Walk. Yeah, you know, as a walk, we said.
Oh, okay.
But excessive movement, even when the person is in the place. التي كما يقول العلماء عز العلماء say, which if the person comes from outside, he does not think that you are praying. That excessive movement, يعني someone putting his hand in his pocket, bringing the mobile phone, looking to it, or like that, or adjusting the watch. This is excessive movement. Yeah, in a different way. Not moving. They said excessive moving. The front, to the right, to the left. And one of you asked, what if the window, there is rain, and window open, and he wants to close it? And even they asked if the imam can go to the front of the window and then return back. We said, yes, this is permissible. But today we are speaking about the movement, not the moving. Movement, even in your position. Too much excessive movement, this is not acceptable. Now, كم هذه؟ سبعة. والثامن, نعم. ذكرنا هذا, قلنا breaking the wudu, losing the wudu. نعم. ماذا أيضا تعمل؟ أيوة, شرب. ما ذكرنا drinking والصلاة, لكن هذا في الفريضة فقط. Drinking is different from eating. Eating is not permissible and optional or obligatory. Drinking, if needed in the optional prayers, it is permissible. لأن الصحابة كانوا يفعلون هذا في صلاة الليل. الصحابة كانوا يصلون ويطيلون, قد يحتاج الإنسان إلى أن يشرب. فقال العلماء بأن الشرب في الصلاة النافلة يجوز شرب الماء. Some of the علماء said drinking in the optional prayer is permissible when it is needed. Because the Sahaba used to pray long night prayers. When we say long night prayers, they don't do like what we do today. 5 minutes to rak'ah, then stop. And this way you don't need any water to drink. You can drink between the prayers. But they used to pray 2 rak'ah, 5 hours. And here they might need to drink some water. Especially the one who recites. نعم. ولهذا قال العلماء بأن هذا يجوز ولا يبطل الصلاة, لكن الشرط أنها في النافلة, لأن الصلاة الفريضة لا تطول هذا الطول. Because the obligatory prayer must not go this long to make you need for drinking water. نعم. لكن نعلمون أن النافلة يجوز فيها ما لا يجوز في الفريضة. And as you know that the nafila, there are things permissible in it which are not permissible in the fard. Like what?
Sitting.
Sitting. Instead of standing. And the fariḍa, and the obligatory prayer, it's not permissible except for one who cannot stand. But in the optional prayer, even you are strong and able to stand, but you want to sit, you can sit, no problem. You can sit, no problem. But the reward goes half. كذلك praying on the camel or car on the nafila, on the fariyah, that's not permissible. You have to come down and pray on the ground facing the qibla. When you are riding a camel or riding your car, you want to pray two rak'ah while riding, you can't, even if it is not to the direction of the qibla, intentionally. This is permissible. واضح يا اخوان؟ نعم. واما بالنسبه هذه هي نواقض الصلاه. واما بالنسبه ل الضحك قلنا امس حتى قلت ال اي او يو جي اتش قلت بالنسبه لك استاذ علي منظر استاذ سيري ايفن ان سبيلينج سو نو ون think that I mean L-O-V-E. I said love because sometimes my pronunciation is not correct. That's why I spell it for you guys. I'm not like you. I'm not native. I'm not native. I speak very weak English, weaker than your Arabic. So that's why I... When there is one word that can be doubtful, then I spell it. L-A-U-G-H. Is this the spelling of it? I, alhamdulillah, I'm good in spelling. Because of my friend, the dictionary, the electronic dictionary. That's why. Now, بالنسبة لسجود السهو, in regard to سجود السهو, there are ahadith explain how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed. If you want the ahadith, but this will be long, we can sit up inshallah talk and bring them. But what I intended to do is to give you brief the guidance of the ahadith. Yani how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam done in this incident. But you want with the ahadith, no problem, I even can have it printed by Yusuf and distributed to you. What we need to learn, ikhwan, is we might have spent 80 years in one understanding. Later on, a young lad who is 15 years old bring us a hadith from Bukhari. What should we do now? Because I am 80 years old, or I have spent 80 years in Islam, I don't accept it. I say I know it better than you. This is not correct. We always need to go. I should say to him, Jazakallah khair. And let me tell you one incident. Occurred during the Sahaba time. Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, they were young lads. They saw an old man performing wudu wrongly. One said to the other, how can we give him advice? He's old. If we approach him now, he might reject it. He might feel, I am older than you. And this is also an advice to the young people. Because the young men have always, يعني, ماذا تسمون هذا, حماسة. Zeal, yeah. Zealousness? Or enthusiasm. Naam. They just want to do, they just want to collect, they just want to expose and share the knowledge they have with no patience, with no hikmah, with no wisdom. And whenever people turn away from them, they start criticizing. Mubtada is dhal, he is khariji, he is munafiq. Like that. This is not correct. Look to the Hassan Hussein, how they did. K came both to this old man. They said, "Uncle, me and my brother have a conflict in regard to the proper wudu. He says his way is correct, and I say my way is correct. Can you judge it, please?" They said, "Yes, why not? Go ahead, every one of you." So they both performed wudu. The old man laughed. And he said, "Jazakum Allah khair. May Allah reward you both. I got the lesson. I got the lesson. You both performed same way of wudu, which is different from my way. That means I am wrong. But see how they give the nasiha in a nice way. Today's youngster insists he has to take it or we can save him. We'll touch him. Warn everybody from him. Call him a man of desire." And then they call some shiuf. "Sheikh, if someone giving the sunnah and he said he doesn't want it." Look, he never said, "I don't want the sunnah." But he said, "I don't want your way of learning the sunnah." And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said to Mu'an, when he sent it to Yemen and Abu Musa, "Yassira wa la tu'assira wa bashira wa la tunaffira." He said to them both, give ease and make it easy. Do not make it difficult for people. Give them glad tidings. Don't make them turn away from Islam. And in certain occasion he says, "Inna minkum munaffirin." Oh people, some of you are people who cause people to reject Islam because of their harshness, because of their aggression, because of their enthusiasm, because of their arrogance. They learn one, two words, they listen to a couple of lectures, they never studied Usul, they consider themselves imams. And they start criticize Abu Hanifa and Shafi'i and Malik and Ibn Hajar and Nawawi. They criticize everyone. They criticize. This is wrong, everyone. This is not the way to spread Islam. And remember what Allah Ta'ala said to Musa and Harun when he sent them to Fir'aun. "Is this man like Fir'aun?" Nothing. He's not like that. He's Muslim. And what Allah said to Musa and Harun, "إِذَا بَا إِلَىٰ فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّهُ طَغَى فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى." Tell him some soft, speak to him some, and softly. If Fir'aun, speech to be given to him softly. What about someone who is Muslim and wrong? But Muslim. And ya ikhwan, we have to be some kind of the sunnah. طيب, على كل حال, this is the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa in performing sujood al-sahw. Whoever likes it, take it. Who doesn't like it, up to you. What my duty is to convey the knowledge I have. Not to please every one of you. I cannot please all of you. I cannot. Because everyone will look to it from one angle. How can I please everyone? What my duty is, why I came all this distance to here, is only to share the knowledge I got from the Quran and Sunnah. If you say the hadith that I'm bringing is da'if, I say Jazakallah khair. Show me where it is da'if and why it is da'if. But to say what you say is wrong because it is not like what we learn, I say, akhi, this is not the way. This is not the way. We've been talking about this a couple of days now. The sunnah got to be followed. We all say, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah." If you hear me one day say, "Ashhadu anna Ahmad ibn Hanbal Rasulullah," then cut my leg. Break it. Permission. You want me to write it? I write it for you. You have permission to kill me. If you hear me saying, Ashhadu anna Ahmad ibn Hanbal, or Ashhadu anna Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, Rasulullah. Immediately kill me. Don't doubt it. But I am telling you as you say, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. So we all have to take Muhammad as the messenger of Allah. Not anyone else. If I tell you, take my Sheikh's statement, don't take Muhammad Rasulullah's statement. From me, take it from me, take off your shoe and beat me with it. I permit you. Because then, I must be more misguided than the donkey of my father. If I put the statement of my Sheikh or myself before the statement of Rasulullah, then the donkey is better than me. As Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-Jumu'ah, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاةَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُوا أَسْفَارِ. The example of those who are given the Torah, meaning the knowledge, and they don't work upon it, لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا means they didn't work upon it. Then the example of them is like the donkey. He is loaded of the books, but he doesn't know them. He doesn't act about them. So we agree, Ikhwan? Inshallah. Right. I will give you now the conclusion, the brief of the guidance of the hadith of Sujood al-Sahw. If you want a hadith, promise. I'll give it to Yusuf before I go. And he will, inshallah, post it to you all. Now, Sujood al-Sahw is either to be before salam or after salam. Based on what? We say that based on the incident that Rasulullah had. Allah Ta'ala made the Prophet to forget in certain occasions, to show us what to do. Practically, not only verbally, but practical. He done it himself. So no one come to say, oh, maybe he mean this. He done it. Physically, practically. Right. If you miss a wajib, if you miss a wajib, then sujood al-sahw to be before salam. Before salam. If you miss a pillar and then you bring it, then sujood al-sahw to be after salam. After salam. Yarhamukallah. If you doubt, I pray three or two. In Salat al-Dhuhr, for example. What do? You base on what is certain. What is certain in here? Two. The third one is doubt now. I don't know if I've done the third or not. So the second, I'm sure I've done it. So I consider it is the second. And then continue the prayer. And then what? Naam. The sujood sahw to be after salam. After salam. Naam. And when the ma'moom, when the falwa forgets a wajib, he does not need for sujood al-sahw. If he has an imam and he, the follower, forget a wajib, He does not need to do the sahwi because the one is for him. Example, he forgot to say Subhana Rabbi al-Azim one time. And instead Subhana Rabbi al-Azim in ruku', he said Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Okay? Now, he remembered only after he raised up from ruku'. What does he do? Continue with his imam. What does he do after, at the end of the salah? Nothing. But if he is praying by his own, then he needs to do so. Yeah? If you join the jama'ah, when on the third rak'ah of Isha, the imam on the second rak'ah made a mistake. You came when he was standing in the third rak'ah, but before you come, he forgot to sit for the tashahhud al-awwal, and he stood. Jama'ah said Subhanallah, but he already stood. They all stood. Now you came and joined them. At the end of the salah, the imam will make sujood sahw. If he does sujood sahw before salah, you will have to do sujood sahw with him. You have to follow him. You did not. If you wasn't with him when he made the sahw. But if he makes sujood sahw after salam, you don't make sujood sahw with him. Because by the salam, you have separated him. You have left him, halas. You became the imam of yourself. Naam? And I wish to speak, when I bring you the hadith, to clarify more about this as per the incidents. Inshallah ta'ala. And we end up here this session. But now, yeah, question, no problem. But I mean, still the session, as you saw, we need to speak about with the adilla better, so no one can get confused. Inshallah. Wallahu a'lam. Sallallahu sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala sahbihi. If you have any question, you are more than welcome to raise up. Tafadhal.
When you join the jama'ah late and you are in and you rise up for the to continue where, to make up what you missed, do you do it after the first salam of the imam or the second salam of the imam? Second salam of the imam. When do you do it? When do you get up and do it?
You join the jama'ah, but you have missed already rak'ah or two rak'ah. The imam sit for the last shahud. You sit with him. Imam finished the last shahud. And he says, Assalamu alaikum. When you start, when he finishes the second salam, not the first salam, the second salam. Or, if he says one salam, because there is a hadith of one salam. If he says one salam, then you start. But how can you know? How can you know? How can you know that the imam is intending to do one salam or two salam? Now? Waiting for what? Huh? If he starts, that's exactly. If the imam starts doing the dhikr, if he says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, it means that he finishes the prayer. He intended to make one salam. Naam? But as long as you did not hear him saying any dhikr, you should remain. You should wait until you hear him either saying, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah on the left, or when he says the dhikr. But the saying that the prayer ends, the prayer is ended by the first salam, this is not correct. It's not correct saying. Because they say it is ended by the first salam, so you can't do first salam with him. And the Imam says, Salamu alaikum, you do Salamu alaikum. This is not correct. Not proper opinion. The proper opinion, if the salam takes the opinion of two, the Imam takes the opinion of two salam, you have to wait for him until he finishes. No. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ الْإِمَامُ لِيُؤْتَمَّ بِهِ. Well, the Imam is only assigned to be followed. And followed when he does the pillar. And the pillar here is the two to sleep. Not the one to sleep. Naam?
So by that you mean also that if somebody quits the wudu after the first salam, he has to pray the wudu.
No, that's a different issue. That's a different issue. If he intends to do two salam in this prayer, he never had the intention to do one salam. A person, I said, there is a hadith of one salam, but it must be preceded with intention. Okay? If you want to pray your own, and you have no intention to do one salam, when you made, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, خلاص, he said, it's enough. لا, it's not enough. The intention must be before, preceding. If you have the intention, huh? Before the salam.
Before the salam or before the salam?
No, before the salam. Before the salam. You have an intention in your heart that you want to do one salam. That's okay. But you done the one salam. And then you decided, that's it. No, it's not that's it. This way is not correct. This way is not correct. Now, if you have no intention to make one salam, your intention is normally two salam. But after the first salam, you lost your wudu. Sure, not doubt. Sure, you lost your wudu. Then the whole salah gone. The whole salah gone. Have to make wudu and pray again. Pray again. But if you have the intention already, and once you say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, you lost your wudu, salah is God, it's correct. Yeah? The important is the intention. Naam. Allah Alam. Okay, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ الْإِمَامُ لِيُؤْتَمَّ بِهِ. Well, the Imam is assigned to be followed. Okay? What is the reason that you did not finish your recitation of Fatiha? It can be one of two reasons. Either the Imam is too fast to limit that his recitation is not correct. Or you are too slow. Then you have to go a little bit fast. Yani the Imam recites, this is not correct from the Imam. The Imam must be correct. But if you go, Alhamdulillah, Ar-Rahman. This is not correct though. If you pray your own, no problem. But you are behind an Imam. You want the Imam to wait for you until you, mashallah, finish. And that's not correct. And by the way, sometimes some people, yani the Imam, go to ruku' and they are still reciting. The Imam raise up for ruku', then they go for ruku'. This is not correct. This is not correct. You should follow the Imam. If you do your best, but you could not finish the Fatiha, example, you normally recite Fatiha in a correct yani, timing, and you catch the Imam normally. But in this rak'ah, Allahu Akbar. Something in your throat. Okay? You cannot recite. While you're coughing, the imam goes for rukun. What do? You go with him. Khalas, he carries that for you. He carries that for you. Some go for rukun, and they intend in rukun to say tasbih many times. Imam raised up from rukun, and about to go for sujood, and they are still rukun. This is wrong. Once the imam raises back, you have to raise your back. You have to. Unless you are somebody who has some illness or backache, and you slowly can raise, that's a different thing. Some in sujood, they prefer to stay too long, either tasbih or dua. The imam raises and sits, and they are still in sujood. That's also wrong. You want to make dua, no problem. Make a long sujood as you like. But when you are praying alone. And some of them make the last sajda long. And I don't know from where they get this understanding. Why the last sajda wrong? The Prophet ﷺ used to go from long to shorter to shorter to shorter. He ended up with the shortest. Now the opposite. Naam, Allahu A'lam. Sorry? Which one goes first? The order of the Quran, the long surah, the short surah. The order of the Quran, it's preferable to go by the order. But it's not obligatory. What is the delil for that? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed one night, as Ibn Mas'ud said, and he opened up the salah by Fatiha, and then Baqarah, he started Baqarah. Ibn Mas'ud said, I thought he's going to stop by the 100, but he continued. I said to the 200, but he continued until he finished it. Then I said he may go for rukur, but he began what? Nisa. Which one comes first? Al Imran. But he gone Surah Al Nisa, and then did he go for rukur? No. He returned back to Surah Al Imran. This means the order is obligatory. Also, in the Turak Al Tawaf, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prays Naam first in the first rak'ah Surah Al-Kafirun, in the second rak'ah Surah Al-Ikhlas. This is as per the order, and the longer to the shorter. Correct? It was proved that in one incident he took a tawaf, he took a sin of tawaf, first rak'ah he recited Surah Al-Ikhlas. And then in the second rak'ah, I recited Surah Al-Kafirun. Now, which one is the first usually in the Quran? Kafirun. Which one is longer? Kafirun. You know what I mean? But what I mean is, it should not go that long and long, long. But it makes it short. That's the sunnah. No. But the excessive length is not. Faddal.
Some women enter the masjid but cannot see the imam. They join the salah, but after they realize they are not in the same position as the imam, so they leave the jama'ah and pray on their own. Is this correct?
No, this is not correct. This is not correct. If they can, if the person who is behind the imam, if he can see the imam or see one who can see the imam, then he follows. If he cannot see, then we ask, can he hear the imam? Or can he hear one who repeat after the imam? Then he has to follow. If he cannot see the imam at all, cannot hear the imam, he cannot see any follower, he cannot hear any follower, then they have to pray separate, alone. They cannot follow this imam. They cannot follow this imam. Is that clear? If you don't see the Imam and you don't hear him when he say Allahu Akbar like this, you pray your own. Well, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were in Hajj, for example, there were more than 100,000 people praying behind the Imam, and at that time there were no microphones. So what did they do? The Prophet assigned someone which is like the microphone today. To repeat after. Yeah. So now those followers are not following the Imam. They don't see the Imam, they don't hear the Imam. But they hear someone else who even when the Imam says Sami Allah liman hamidah, they don't say Sami Allah liman hamidah. They say Rabbana wa lakal hamd la rabbi. But they still follow and the Prophet ﷺ approved it. Now in this mosque, if it is a mosque and you came, where did you go? Okay, I don't mean the shape. Yeah. But I mean, why did you go there? On what intention?
I want to go to the Masala.
Okay. And they told you that here they pray Jum'ah Salah.
Yes.
Then this is the masjid to you. This is the place for Jum'ah. So you came knowing that you are going to pray Jum'ah. And usually Jum'ah is with the Imam, not with the recording. Usually Jum'ah with the Imam. Until you come to know 100% that this wasn't an Imam, it was a recording. Or they were following the Imam in Mecca through the internet or TV. Then don't pray behind. You understand what I mean? I mean to say, we in Saudi, if I am in Mecca and my house, I see the TV, I see the Imam of Mecca. I see the camera is only on the Imam. And he is reading the prayer. I can't hear him from the TV. I can't see him on the screen. I am not allowed to follow him or pray behind him. Because this is not the way. I am not in that place, not in the same place. But when I am in the same place, in the Haram area, in Mecca, in Ramadan or Hajj, you be in places where it is impossible to see the Imam. So what do? You follow the microphone, you follow his... You say Allahu Akbar. No, now we don't need someone to repeat. Although it's still used in Haram, but we don't need it because of this. Now he speaks, everybody in the Haram can hear. When he says Allah after reciting Fatiha and Surah, and he says Allahu Akbar, what do you think he's doing? Rukur, of course. Rukur. If you're mistaken, no problem. This is Allah Ta'ala forgive it. For example, you're praying behind the Imam in Haram on the top roof. It's full, all packed. Now you are in the top roof of the Haram. The Imam of the Haram recited Surah there, which has Sajda, Sujood. After the Surah, he went for Sujood. You thought he went for Rukur. So you went for Rukur. And you only realized when he said, Allahu Akbar. And instead of saying, Sami Allahu liman hamidah. Oh, he wasn't in Rukur. What do? You raise up and wait for him. He goes, Allahu Akbar, he's going for ruku' now. Then for ruku'. So in that rak'ah, you have done two ruku'. One by mistake, which is no problem. The other, well, intentionally, that is the reward. Allahu A'lam. My name. What was his name? What was his name? Muslim? No, no, no. What was his name?
What was his name?
I understand, but was his name Muslim or Bukhari? He said he was Muslim.
What was his actual name, his proper name? Yeah. He said he had a Muslim name. What was the name? Muhammad Ali.
Ali. Alhamdulillah. Ali is similar to great Sahabi. He's Muslim, inshallah. As long as you prayed with the intention that you came to pray behind an imam, inshallah your salah is sahih. Your salah is sahih.
You want to know, in regard to the question of the sisters, they were hearing him. By that I mean, I guess they mean the imam. But let's say they joined him and thought he was in ruku, but he was in sujood. So if leaving is incorrect, leaving the imam, then what should be done?
Well, first of all, they can imam. It's not like that. They thought he was in sujood, and they thought he's in ruku'. Right. The one who rises up from ruku', what does he say? Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. This man did not say Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. Said Allahu Akbar. So what do you know? That he's in sujood. Then khalas, that rak'ah is cancelled of yours. And you continue with him from that point. But you cannot leave him. Wallahu a'lam. Sheikh Firuz. If this is the compromise solution, I may support it. But if it is to say this is the sunnah, I say, no, but the claim was that. The claim was, all you people are Salafis and you claim you are Salafis, but we don't see in sunnah there was a burial. I say, okay, where in the sunnah you see there is a burial with holes? Where in the sunnah? Nothing in the sunnah. So we say the sunnah got to be understood. Well, first of all, is there anywhere in the sunnah the Prophet ﷺ said, do not put burial? There is nothing like that. Now the ulama, yani come up with understanding that burial is good to give convenience to the women, especially today when the men are causing fitna to the women, even behind the barrier. So, the ulama in Medina, Masjid al-Nabawi, and Masjid Quba, and all the masajid, they put a barrier to give more privacy to the women. This, to me, does not contradict the Sunnah. Because the Sunnah never said, make the masjid like this. Or, it did not happen that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make a burial, and he said no. Not like in the i'tikaf when he saw some of the mothers of the believers built up a tent inside the masjid. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said no, don't do that. As well as when some of them tied a rope from one side to one side, he said, what for? They said, when they pray too long, they get tired, so they hang. He said, no, pray as long as you can, and then sit if you want. Same thing with Salat al-Taraweeh. We are going, inshallah, to discuss. The Prophet ﷺ did not say, pray 11, pray 13. He did not say that. He did something and he left it open. The great ulama during the time of Imam Malik and before and after, they understood it differently. Some youth come up today to say, no, this is bid'ah. We say the bid'ah is you. You are the bid'ah. Yourself is bid'ah. He is bid'ah in accordance to the ulama. His existence is bid'ah. And he's trying to give ruling. Same thing with this. We say, as the ulama say, as long as there is a way to know, then it is no harm on making a burial between the women and men. No harm. And especially today, they have classes in the masjid for women. If the burial is not well, their voice is going to be in the men's side and it's going to be fitna. And we see how the men are doing fitna everywhere by the voice of a woman. And shaitan comes, for example, here in the West. Woman is everywhere. They speak in everywhere. Did not make fitna to the men. Until woman who is in niqab, woman in the masjid, it caused them fitna. This is real. On the internet, in a room where they are studying, the shaitan comes. In the masjid, the shaitan comes. You know what I mean? So I say, if it is a kind of suggestion, I support it, no problem. Even the ulama there, I hear many of them say that it's okay, it's good. But to be after a criticism of, oh, you are Salafis and you say Salafis, but you do build curtains, where Rasulullah ﷺ did not build curtain or barriers. We say, I myself say, this is a poor understanding, a lack of understanding. Same as the carpet, as you say. Same as the carpet. Na'am. Wallahu a'lam. But to make a way of them to see, there is no problem. And what makes me wondering, really, is that in lecturing, they have no problem that the ladies have no barrier. When they serve the food, they have no problem that they have no separation, no congregation, segregation. When it comes to the masjid and the prayer and the purity, they have some kind of doubt. This is a problem. Ala kulli hal, if it is a suggestion, I would say this is good and great. But if it is a kind of criticism to the Salafiyya, this is very poor criticism. Allah a'lam. Let me just say something. You didn't hear. Maybe you will not hear. If you did not hear, you may not be here. But we said it here. I left from the air. نعم طيب الحمد لله نعم one last question You mean to say that the heart, how the heart contains the knowledge, that's what you mean to say? We have three things related to this understanding. We have the heart, we have what we call it the aql, and we have the brain, the mukh. Okay? The ulama and even the evidences, the ayat and the talks usually about the aql. And the ulama have different opinion. Where is the aql? Is it in the brain or in the heart? And they say, person, if it is in the heart, and a person had heart surgery, heart operation, they planted the heart of a kafir in his body. What is he going to be after the operation? Is he going to be a person who disbelieves in Allah because he's given a heart that used to disbelieve? Why? You say the heart is, the aql is in the heart. So the heart is taken away. And now, the heart of a kafir, a disbeliever, is replaced. Some of them say it is in the brain. It is in the brain. But what I hear from the muhaqqiqeen of al-ilm, what I read from them, is that it is between the brain and the heart. The aql which is considered of which they call it senate. Intellect. Now, intellect. They say it is not physical. It is something spiritual, like the spirit itself. Where is it? Where is the spirit? Is it in the finger? Is it in the head? Is it in the heart? Where is it? Where is the spirit? You know? Allah knows. The aql is Allah knows. Where? Allah knows where. But we are told, and we know from our experience, that we have this thing which is called aql, with which we differentiate between the beneficial and harmful. With the aql, we know now, the child, does he have heart or no? Does he have brain or no? Huh? Yeah. Now, can the child of 1 year old or 3 months who has heart beating, who has pain working, can he differentiate between what can harm and what cannot? Why? Because the aql, which grows with the human, with man. So this proves that it is not the heart itself, but and not the brain itself, but it is something between them, or it comes to them. Now. طيب. العقل.
ولكن أن قلوب يعقلون بها يعني أقول أن عقل يعني أنه قريب يعني في مصر أنه قريب يعني في كتب القلوب كما قال تعالى
يعني أن العقل يكون في القلب
أنهم قلوب يعقلون
طيب وبها يعرف إذا أنا أسألك الجنون يكون في العقل في المخ في الرأس أم في القلب طيب هذا عنده قلب. This person still has the heart, but he lost senate. Senate is in the brain. He is majnoon now. Do you say if he doesn't pray while he has a heart, he is going to be punished? لماذا? طيب. Someone who sleep. What is now? This what is now stopped? The brain or the heart? Nothing, neither one. If the brain stops from working, there is a problem. Because the brain controls the movement of all body. So it is something spiritual. It's not something physical, the heart or the brain. But it is something spiritual. ولذلك قلنا طيب the child doesn't have heart why cannot he have عقل that's why أهل العلم they say it is something spiritual Allah knows best what it is but we know from our experience that we are not like the lion we are not like the elephant we have a way of thinking they don't have although they have big heart If you kill a lion, you may make tea by the heart. It's big. And when you break his head, you might find big mukh, brain. But still, this great big animal, which has big heart, big mukh, big brain, still cannot... Think like us cannot do what we do. What does that mean? It's something spiritual. Allahu a'lam. Naam.
Then how do you understand that what level is shaitan?
طيب. That is good question. Again, where is shaitan? Where is he? Is he something physical? You see him? No. Nagal time you can see shaitan. Allah Ta'ala said, إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ قَبِيلٌ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُ. لا, أنا أتكلم عن الشيطان إبليس. Okay, he deals with the spirit, not with the body itself. Shaitan deals with the spirit. Now, you know the blood clot. How big it is? Very small thing that blocks the vein. Correct? Shaitan runs in the vein. Big. Runs in the vein. Why he doesn't block it? So this is something Allah knows best about. But we believe what we told. And all this is spiritual, not physical. And what I mean not physical, I don't mean it's not real, but it's not something visible. Touchable. That means he whispered. When I say Hamastu fi udunihi, I whispered in two or in his ear. You don't say that in English? I whispered in his ear. Did you go in his ear? When you whisper to your wife, you enter their ear? Did you insert your mouth into your ear? No. It's something it's not touchable. So the shaitan whispers. How he whispers? Allah knows best. When I see him, I can't tell you. But I never come to see him. I feel him whispering to me. I feel him. But believe me, if I see him, I won't let him come to you. I'll kill him before he comes to you.
Why I'm asking the shaykh is because of the activity of mind in terms of conscious, subconscious, or unconscious. And it's taking that part of the mind where it's unconscious. This is what he said.
Now, what we need to say here, and this is the final, inshallah, we end up with. What we need to say is that there are things. Now, what is the hikmah that Allah Ta'ala did not make the shaitan visible? What is the hikmah? Because Allah Ta'ala is examining us, testing us. We believe or we don't believe. We believe or we don't believe. Okay? So, this is what Allah Ta'ala told us, that He whispers in the chest. We have to believe in that. When He whispers in the chest, do you hear from your chest or from your ear? From your ear. You hear with your ear, not with your chest. So why is he whispering there? Who's going to hear him? Do you feel his whispering or you don't feel it? Huh? You feel it? You feel it? No, you feel it, exactly. If you don't, you are lucky, but I feel it. I feel someone speaking in my heart. Feel someone speaking in my chest.
It's like seeing the eyes of the
No, no, but I mean, no, but what I mean, what, excuse me, what I mean is, now, first of all, waswasa means whispering. Whispering, is it voice or not voice? Voice. Voice. Whispering is voice. Okay. Now, Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, no doubt in that. He is whispering in the chest. He said that. Allah Ta'ala said that. Okay, now. Do you hear with your chest or with your ear? With the ear. This is how Allah Ta'ala made it to be. I feel something speaking in my heart, in my chest. Right? I can't hear it sometimes. I can hear it. I can feel it. Okay? But when you're to me, you cannot hear it. You cannot hear the shaitan whispering to me. Right? So this is all are matters of iman. Do we believe in it or we just believe in what we see? This is unseen. This is part of the unseen. And who disbelieves in shaitan as a creation that existed, that exists, is kafir. Who say, I disbelieve in shaitan, by the meaning that there is no shaitan, nothing, is kafir. And believe me, not, if he dies with disbelief, he's not going to get to the Jannah, no way. But if he says, I disbelieve in the shaitan, by I don't obey him, by the meaning of I don't obey him, is a believer. Is a believer. Allahu a'lam. Wa sallallahu sallam mubarak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. Jazakum Allah khair. And very sorry for this long talk.
Just one quick announcement. The sisters have said that they want to have one of the classes tomorrow to the sisters. We don't have any class after the khutbah until after Maghrib. This is the topic is general, love and hate in Islam. But for the sisters, the regular tajweed class will begin as usual, which I assume might be 4:30. But you could verify with the sister in the back, inshallah. But they will be having their tajweed class tomorrow, inshallah.
Yeah.